You have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14. Good to see everyone in Sunday school. I almost got to witness Georgia losing last night. I know that's not godly, but it was pretty close. Anybody else hate Georgia? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't going to talk about LSU. We got a fan in here. Tennessee, we hate Tennessee too. Roll Tide. Acts chapter 14, verse number 27. I'm going to talk this morning about what is our purpose and our involvement in the local church. I think we need to understand that our local church has a great responsibility. And this morning, I just want to help us as men. I mean, this lesson could go along with ladies also. Obviously, they're just as much as part of the local church as we are. But I want us to try to kind of establish why God has us in a local church. You know, a lot of people will consider their church as, you ever heard somebody say, me and God are good, we have church at home, we don't go to church, we don't want to be a part of an established church. Well, I'm going to be honest with you, that's just not a godly principle. And I don't think, you know, we ought to be mean to those people or hateful, but I do think it's important for us to understand why God has called us to be a part of the local church. God has established three major institutions on this earth: the family, the civil government, and the local church. It is a local church which has been commissioned by God to carry out His purpose in reaching the lost and perfecting the saved. Therefore, God's plan for a Christian will always be fulfilled best when connected with the local church. If you just look around you this morning, you'll see that we as a local church, and I mean, I'm not bragging because I don't ever want to be prideful, but I think we're doing a pretty good job in what God has called us to do. You look around, you see the young people coming from the different communities. You know why they're coming? Because we as a local establishment under God's grace are investing into those young people. They see our investment in physically, they see it financially, they see it prayerfully, they see that we care about their soul. And now you see the fruit of that labor. The Bible, you know, teaches that, you know, you reap what you sow. We showed up Thursday night. I like it that people are anticipating the praise report. Well, my prayer through that whole thing was not just to be able to go preach to them and give the gospel. My prayer was to gain some fruit out of that. My prayer as a football coach is not just to go coach football. I love coaching football. I enjoy it. It's one of my favorite things in the whole world to do. But more than that, I like to build a relationship with a young man. I realize that the home that I grew up in wasn't so fortunate. I mean, not my immediate grandparents. They were great. They were godly. They taught me everything I needed to know. But I grew up in that split home, and I look around and I see that over and over and over and over and over again. And see, I got two choices with that story. I got a choice to say, okay, God, why would you allow that to happen to me? I can feel sorry for myself, or I can take the cards that you've been given. Here's the reality. Can I change it? I'll never be able to change what happened, but what I can do is find the good in it. See, the Bible says God works all things together for what? Good to them that love Him and who are called according to His purpose. I love being able to sit down and share my story and how God used me to become a preacher. I never would have dreamed of being a pastor when I was their age. But I love sitting those young men down who feel like all is lost and there's no help. I love investing into them as a local church. I like it when men pray and women cook and guys and ladies come together and come serve. And then you see the fruit. They're in your church now, but now that's not the end of it. It's our job now as a local church to nurture them, to teach them, to see that they get saved. I mean, we know that's the Holy Spirit's job, but look, He's using us to make sure that job gets done. And then once those young men and ladies get saved, we don't need to stop there. We need to disciple them. We need to nurture them. We need to have them in our homes, have them over for dinner, invest in the younger generation to come. And again, I don't want to brag, but I think we're doing a pretty good job at making the devil angry. Amen? I think it's good that the devil don't like what we're doing. So what is the local church? Well, can I say this? The church is not just a building. And I know everybody knows that, but the Bible says in Acts 14, 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So we realize, yes, this is the church building. And again, I just want to say thank you to everyone who showed up yesterday. I know some of you could not. Some of you were working. Some of you were busy. But that's okay. But look, we came together as a body yesterday, and we worked, and we cleaned, and we scrubbed, and we worked some more, and we organized to make what? God's home look better. See, God gave us this building, but this building's not the church. The church is made up of believers. Amen? Believers, born-again believers. So because of that, what should we do? Well, if you look in John 4:24, I'll just read it to you for sake of time here. In John 4:24, the Bible says this, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if I'm saved, I have the Holy Spirit of God living within me. So if I'm not living and abiding, obeying the Holy Spirit of God, am I worshiping him properly? If God's Holy Spirit, which it is within me, if I'm saved, if you're saved, say amen. So you have the Holy Spirit of God within you, whose job is to lead you and guide you into all truth. And understand this, God's Spirit will always lead you and guide you into all truth. Amen? Now it's your choice what you do with what God gives you. God can only do His part. He's not going to make you do anything. He'll always lead you and guide you into all truth. Another job of Him is to be the Comforter. The Holy Spirit's called a comforter. He will always comfort you. Again, it's up to you what you do with what God has given you. If you choose to constantly rebel against the Holy Spirit of God, listen, we are not worshiping Him properly, living in sin on purpose. God is a spirit. And it says, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I love this verse. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. We know a lot of things that we do are just not right. I'll be the first to tell you. It happens all the time. I do things that I know I shouldn't do. Sometimes we slip up and say things we know we shouldn't say. Does it make it right just because we did it? No. We must worship God in spirit, obeying the Holy Spirit of God, and living and abiding in the truth of God's Word. That is how we should, as a local establishment, a local church, learn to worship God. So not only that, but we got to understand, our bodies don't belong to us. Our bodies belong to the Holy Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says this. What? Paul put a question mark there. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? And something I love about Paul is this. I love how he's always preaching to the church, Brother Blake. See, we want to look at these verses sometimes, and you know, if you're not careful, how many know you can take the Bible out of context real fast? You need to read, you know, my pastor always had the rule, 20 before and 20 after. You kind of can almost be safe if you go 20 verses before and 20 verses after. Sometimes you need to go more than that. But I'm saying, don't think that Paul's coming here asking a bunch of lost people, what, know you not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Because it's not, if they're lost, is it? They don't have the Holy Ghost living with them. What Paul's doing here is reprimanding the church. He's reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all long suffering and doctrine. He's coming to them and saying, church, listen, because you are a new creature created in Christ Jesus, because old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, this is why you must start living and abiding in the Holy Spirit of God and living and abiding in the truth of God's Word. Don't you know that you are not your own anymore? You've accepted the grace of God. Listen, why? Just as a get out of hell free card? Folks, listen. Many people will be saved and go to heaven, but not very many people will experience the victorious Christian life. See, being a Christian is a wonderful thing. I lived a long time, and I'm not trying to tell you I'm perfect. But had you known me 10 years ago, you still would have known a saved man. But you would not have known the same man. See, I lived as a transgressor. I lived as someone who was fighting God all the time. Why? Because I did not want to do what God wanted me to do, Brother Scott. I thought I had better plans. You know, I was in the middle of working construction. I had opportunities to go make tons and tons of money, and I made really good money up there in Alaska. Made a lot of it. Had opportunities to be gone on the weekends and make more money over and over again. And I was like, man, I could do this. I could retire when I'm 50 years old with a lot of money. But God says, son, I just want you to be a preacher. Let me use you. And here's Paul coming to a church who's living in vile and wickedness, and wickedness is in their homes. The sin of immorality had stricken the church in Corinth. It was very wicked. You read the history of it. I mean, sexual immorality was very real in this church. Everybody understand that? And he's saying, what are you doing? Your parents ever come to you when you were little and say, what were you thinking? You know? And that's what Paul's doing to the church. We're talking about saved men and women. And he's saying, don't you understand that you belong to God? Don't you understand that just like you as a parent hurt when your young people get out of the way and they go do something they shouldn't do and they break your heart? You know, if you're a parent in here, you probably had your heart broken. Probably more than once. And it's probably going to happen again. But take on that feeling of that heartbreak and imagine God saying, son, I sent my only begotten son to die for you. Could you just present your body a living sacrifice and let me use you? Could you just be holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? I'm not asking much. I just want you to submit to me. Think about it, Dad, how you feel when you're begging that son to obey. And there's things in his life that are just more important than mom and dad. Well, guys, listen. How does God feel about us when we willingly choose to disobey Him? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can I say a local church is a body of men and women who have been saved? And again, let's clarify that. A local church is a body of men and women who have been saved. That's why we in our Constitution, we have guidelines on who can join our church and who cannot. It's not because we're biased. It's because we want everyone that joins this church must understand, one, they need to be saved. Two, they need to be baptized or at least agree to be baptized. Amen? Because if they can't obey that first step that God told them to do, believe and be what? Look, what makes you think they're going to even care about the rest of the standards that God has laid out for them? If you know, that's why the Bible teaches us to be ye not unequally what? Yoked together with what? Unbelievers. Why? Because they don't think like we do. Here's a real problem. A lot of times we think like they do. We got to get rid of that mentality and understand that we are a unified body of saved believers called by God to serve in a specific area. You say, what is it that God wants me to do? And you know, I don't think it's wise for you to sit back and say, well, God just hasn't called me to do nothing yet. I think what you better do is read your Bible and realize that you have been called to be a servant. Something else I love about our church, it's never hard to find help doing anything. I mean, there's multiple men that I could call on in just about any situation, and two or three people would be right there. There's multiple ladies that my wife could call on if she needed something, and 100% of the time, there's always help. Somebody gets sick in our church, they need help. It doesn't take long to fill up a meal train. You know, there's churches out there that would just be like, well, not my problem. You ever met somebody like that? But what about when you're the one in need? And then your church fails you. And then you become a statistic. You ever met someone who says, I'm never going back to church because I got hurt in a church? How many know someone who's been hurt in a church before by church people? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah, everybody. And you know what saddens me? Is that church people would treat people like that. Folks, I don't ever want our church to be like that. I want our church to be friendly. I want our church to serve. The church is the body of Christ, the saved multitudes from every nation. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27, turn your Bibles with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We'll be here for a few minutes, probably the rest of the hour here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read some scriptures. We'll start in verse number 14. And we'll read down through verse 27. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 14, "For the body is not," what's that next word? "One member, but how many? Many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am the foot,' or 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" You know, let me ask you a question. You know, like Brother Scott, here's a perfect example. His elbows are all banged up this morning. Now, his head might be feeling pretty good, but you still feel the pain on them elbows, don't you? And is it affecting you this morning? It is, physically. Well, you know, you ever stubbed your toe before? That affects everything. I mean, the strongest man in the world stubs his toe or steps on a Lego, he's done for. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because it hurt. And your mind's saying, "Hey, that hurt." Well, listen, if one of our members in the body of Christ decides they want to be lame as in like not doing their job, and decides, "I'm out." You know, God put us together very strategically in this church. We talked about spiritual gifts about a year ago, and Lord willing, I'm going to come up and preach those again. We got some new people here that I'd like to preach that again. I think it'll be fun. But if we're all using our gifts, yesterday we were sitting over there. I was sitting with Miss Rosalind and Miss Christie, and it was neat to watch Miss Christie use her gift of organization. You know, she's an organizer. I'm sure Brother Randy could back me up here. She's an organizer, and she likes everything very detailed. And Miss Rosalind said, "She's the perfect one for this job." And it gave me an opportunity to say, yes, God gave her the gift of organization. Now, how many are not an organizer in here? I'm not. That's not my spiritual gift. Some of you may be an organizer. But look, if God didn't give you the gift of organization, stop trying to be an organizer. You know what I'm saying? God may have given you the gift of giving, or the gift of mercy, or the gift of prophecy, or the gift of teaching. God may have given, He gave you a gift. Listen, we need to learn what our gift is and understand that you're not going to be able to control what everybody else does. But you, as a member of a body, need to understand you are important. Every single man, woman, boy, and girl in the body of Christ is important. Now look at this. Again, Paul's preaching this to the church. Why is he preaching this? There must be an issue. Verse 16, "And if the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where are the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath" what? Wow. So there's a good Bible principle. I told you before, God never makes mistakes. How many think God makes mistakes? Never. So don't ever be upset that God gave you the gift that you have, because He knew exactly what gift you needed and enabled you to use that gift. Verse 19, "And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" Think about how this is kind of a smart aleck message Paul's preaching to these people here, if you think about it. "Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are" what? Wow. Here's what Paul's saying. It appears here that he's preaching to a church full of people who think that other people are not so important. And now he's saying, for you to think that is foolish. Every single member of the body of Christ is necessary. You know, all of us have been in church for a long time, and you remember what it feels like when you lose somebody? Something's missing, isn't it? You come in, and what used to be a sure handshake or a sure hug on Sunday morning, or somebody's out of place, or maybe you're missing those cards in the mail, or maybe that weekly phone call, or maybe just that voice that just says, I'm praying for you. You know what that does to me as a preacher when you tell me you're praying for me? I love it, especially, I have a real heart for young people, but I love old people also. I like it when they say, I can't do much, but I pray for you. That means the world to me. And you know what? When they're gone, that's one less prayer. You see what I'm saying? That's one less prayer. A part of the body's missing. And see, I also believe that's why it's important that as a local church, we raise up new members. Nurture them. Disciple them. Why? Because people are going to pass. They're going to come and they're going to go. And if we are not investing in new members, who's going to take their place? Who's going to fill the shoes of the ones who are here now? Could you imagine if there were no piano players here? We have no shortage here, thank the Lord. That's a blessing. Could you imagine if we had no Sunday school teachers here? We have no shortage here. That's a blessing, praise the Lord. But guess what? They're not going to do it forever. The Lord ain't going to let me pastor forever. I'd love to see the next preacher of this church raised up right here in this ministry and learn to love it and learn to love the community and learn to invest. Amen. That's what I'd like to see. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. You know what? That verse 23 kind of jumped off the pages to me a few years ago. I was sitting in a message, and I'll be honest with you, I had some ought with some church members that I was a member of the church. I was a member of a church, and some things were going on in the church. And Brother Tim, I was just mad, upset. Had went to my preacher and I said, what are you going to do about this? And his tears started flowing down his face, Brother Steve, and he said, what do you want me to do? See, I cornered him, Blake. I was wrong. I was angry. I wanted him to take action. Because, and I'll be honest, what was going on wasn't so great. It wasn't good. But here's the reality. I'm not God. I wasn't the pastor of the church. I was way out of line by going to him and pretty much putting my foot down and saying, if you don't do something about this, I was ready to be done. But you know what I learned in the end of that, Uncle Brandon, is this. I wasn't thinking about nobody but Drew. I was being very selfish. And I thought back, and you know what? As my preacher started shedding tears, he said, what would you like me to do, son? He said, do you remember when you were sitting in my office years ago and you were in sin? How'd we handle you? And he said these short phrases, you better learn to give grace that you expect. You better learn to give grace that you expect. And I started thinking to myself, this says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. And I'll be honest, I was over. I had no respect left for these guys. But he said, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. My preacher challenged me. He said, instead of focusing on his negativity, look for something positive and pray for him more. Find a way to uplift him. And guess what? Today that man has repented. He's now serving the Lord 100%. He's leading music in church again. He's teaching a kid's Sunday school class. But me, I was ready to just throw him to the curb. You ever felt like that towards somebody? I bet we all have. And I learned a valuable lesson. One, prayer works. Two, this thing ain't about Drew. It's about him. And three, always learn to give the grace that you expect. Always learn to give the grace that you expect. For our comely parts have no need, verse 24. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You know, there should never be a member in the church that you show more grace towards than the next member. There should never be this thing called favoritism, right? We don't need that. And I don't think we have that here. I think we have a good, solid group of men and women here that have learned to show grace abundantly. But don't ever get caught up in that scheme there. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, here it is, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We saw there in verse, Paul compares the church body to the human body in that passage. And we saw there each member has a different function. We saw that in verse 14 through 20. In verse 21, we saw no one member can function alone. How many know you need your other members? Each member's contribution is important in verse 22 through 24. A properly functioning body operates as a single unit. You ever tried working with somebody who just wasn't on board with you? You try and do something one way and they just like ain't having it. You know what I'm saying? If everybody gets on the same page though, that's funny. If everybody gets on the same page, what happens? Progress, right? And at the end of the day, we look back and like something got done. But man, if you got like four chiefs on one job site and one Indian, you can forget getting any work done. Forget it. We need one chief and four Indians, right? That's what we need, not four chiefs and one Indian. We got to work together. What is the function of the local church? The first local church in the Bible was organized in Jerusalem. You can see that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 through 47. Let's turn there. Acts chapter 2. We got 5 minutes. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. In verse 41 through 47. The Bible says this, then they that gladly received the word were what, church? There it is again, baptism, after they received the word. And the same day they were added unto the church about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with, what's the next two words? One accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In verse 42, you see the teaching of the Word of God. In verse 42, you see fellowship with other believers. How many enjoy fellowship with other believers? I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. In verse number 42, you see prayer. Prayer is important. Verse number 42, the observance of the two ordinances of the church. You see in verse 41, baptism, and then the Lord's Supper in verse 42. Verse 43, you see you are to be a testimony of God's grace and power. In verse 44 and 45, for mutual assistance and ministry. In verse 46 and 47, to reach out into the community. You see that there. In verse 47 also, you see that we are to glorify and praise God. I wonder, we're done. Listen, I just wonder, this week, if you have found a reason to be thankful. If you found a reason to be thankful. Because see, God's pretty good about giving us reasons to be thankful. He's a master at that. But we're going to close this morning. Brother Andy, can you close us in prayer this morning, buddy?